You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 84. Now, my guest today is Lee, and we've just finished recording the dream interpretation with Lee, so I'll give you a little bit of information ahead of listening. Lee is bringing a recurring dream that she's had about 8 years ago and stopped about 5 or 6 years ago. And it's really interesting because as we interpret the dream and Lee relates it to her waking life at that time, you can really join in the sense of how interesting it is in hindsight to look at what was happening in your waking life and see that it was reflected in the dream all that time. And we actually discussed that a bit, and we look at what might have happened if Lee had talked to me at the time of her recurring dream, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and how that interpretation and alchemy, if I'd been able to give it back then, might have influenced the years that followed. So there's some recurring themes and symbols in Lee's dream, which some of you may relate to, some common themes mixed with some quite unique themes as well. So after Lee's interpretation, keep listening because I've got a few extra tips about dream interpretation for you. Here you go. Here's Lee. Welcome to the Dream Show, Lee. Have you had a good morning?
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Done any exciting things?
I've been at university this morning studying nursing.
So you've had a good brain workout, so we're going to hop into a completely different area of your mind now.
Yeah.
And look at your dreams. What have you got for me?
I had a dream reoccurring quite a few times, and it was about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's always stuck in my mind. And so I just thought maybe you'd be able to give me some insight.
Absolutely, yeah, go on.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how it starts, but I, from where I can remember, I'm in the ocean, in between an island and the shore, and my feet can't touch the ground. And there's a lot of people around me who I don't know, but I'm trying to call out to them and warn them because I can see there's three sharks that are sort of circling in around us. And I'm the only one that's aware of it, and nobody's listening to me, and I try and try, and I end up giving up. So I turn for the shore and swim towards it, and it's really hard to get through the water because it's all seaweed and it's a really big struggle. And I finally get to the shore and I'm relieved, and I turn around and the sharks somehow keep coming out of the water at me. So it was, yeah, quite a worry. I'd always wake up around that time too.
Right. So did the sharks actually end up getting on land? Or
yeah,
they
come out of the water. It's like they've grown legs almost.
And they're still pursuing you?
Yeah.
And so when the sharks are in the water and when they're on the land, is there any change in their personality or the feeling that you get about them, or are they the same?
No, just like at first I don't know what, you know, I'm worried about everybody else, and then as I'm swimming I'm more worried about just myself.
And
I feel so relieved once I get to the shore, like I said, then I turn around and it's still they're still coming after
it's
me.
It's still on.
Okay.
A dream always refers to the last 24 to 48 hours. And it's your dreaming mind processing whatever's been happening in your life consciously and unconsciously. So for a recurring dream, every time the recurring dream comes around, it's because there's a waking life situation which is also recurring. Mm. So although you said you had this dream about 5 or 6 years ago, can you remember the first time you ever had it? When it was? You
know? It would have been, I probably had it over about 2 or 3 years.
From 5 or 6 years ago until...
It started probably about maybe 8 years ago.
It started maybe 8 years ago. Okay, and finished 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So as we interpret the dream, we're actually looking at that period of time. So to start about 8 years ago, it's now 2010, so that would have been about 2002 that it started.
Yeah.
So whatever this issue is, as we interpret it, probably first came up for you in 2002.
Okay.
And you probably resolved it or overcame it when you finished, you know, by the time you had the last one. It hasn't come back because the situation that it's reflecting has now been resolved or changed into something else. And that was 5 or 6 years ago, so that would have been 2004 to 2005.
Yeah.
All right. So as we're thinking about this, think to yourself, oh, I'm looking for something here between 2002 and 2004 and 2005, because usually if you bring a dream that you've just had to the podcast show, say, and you've just had it in the last week or so, you can usually think back and say, oh yeah, that's what was happening for me then. It's kind of harder over a long period, but taking a slice of time out like that might give you a frame. Don't tell me what it is now, but later on I'll come back and ask you. Okay. Another thing you can do with a dream is look in, particularly when it's a short dream, is you can look in and find a pair of opposites. And as I was listening to you there, two of the opposites that jumped out to me was, one was on my own, because you were on your own at the beginning of the dream, and there was an island, and an island always brings up for us, like, it's isolated, it's on its own. And the other one was not on your own. No, so in the dream, there were all these people that you were trying to call together, but they weren't listening to you. So, and you were the one that got through. So there's a sense there of two opposites. So that's doing something on my own or by myself and struggling with that, as you were in the dream, and wanting sometimes more a sense of teamwork or support or participation that wasn't happening for you at the time of the dream. But having said that, it's really important to know that everybody in a dream is an aspect of yourself. Mm. So in a sense, there's a feeling in the dream that at the time, the person that feels like you, like Lee, actually felt maybe a bit like, I'm on my own, or I'm independent, or I'm struggling to do something by myself, or why doesn't everybody help me, or, you know, nobody's listening to me, or that kind of thing. But at the same time, all these people that you were trying to call in the dream are aspects of yourself that you'd lost a bit of touch with.
Yeah, okay. Right? Yeah.
So whenever in a dream you're trying to bring people together, it's like you're actually struggling to try to find parts of yourself to bring together, and we're all made up of very many different parts, and as we go through life, the more parts of ourselves that we can kind of unite with and integrate, the better, because we become a more whole person.
Okay.
So there's that sense in your dream of, I want to be more whole, or I want to feel more supported, and knowing that you needed that because something was scary, and that's represented by the sharks. I'm not quite doing that in the dream. I suspect when the dream stopped, you began to feel more integrated or more whole as a person and brought together all of these things. And then another pair of opposites in the dream is kind of like not having my feet on the bottom and having my feet on the bottom. You know, you were out of your depth in the dream, out of your swimming depth. And then when you were on land, you particularly said you felt really good to actually get, like, have your feet on the ground and get on the land. So there's another feeling in the dream that at that time, whenever the dream came up, you might have been feeling out of your depth, a bit kind of like you didn't have roots to put down somewhere, a bit kind of being washed this way and that, and really looking for a bit of stability. But in the dream, even when you got the stability and you got back on the land and you felt good about it, it was still, oh no, this actually hasn't solved my problem. They're still here, these blue sharks.
Okay.
So I suspect after that there was a struggle to think, okay, I thought getting stable or sorted out or something or on my own would solve this problem, but I still had this three shark fear to deal with. I've got more to say about the dream, but how are we going so far?
It's when you put the times down, like in that specific way, I suppose it sort of linked up something to me, which was without going into too much personal information, but a relationship that wasn't really healthy, and I ended up moving from Western Australia over to Brisbane. It's sort of around the time that it stopped.
Good.
So it's quite amazing.
So in a sense, when you moved from Western Australia to Brisbane, you did actually change your roots and change the place where you put your feet on the ground.
It took a couple of years to get over quite a bit of it, but
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
So when there's a number in a dream, like you've got the three sharks, that number is often quite significant as well. And the sharks, describe the energy of the sharks in the dream.
They weren't ferocious or anything like that. They were just constant. There's just a constant going on towards me, coming after me.
So it was like something that no matter how far you went, it was always pursuing you and always going. Do you think if they'd caught up with you in the dream or on the land, they would have hurt you in any way?
Got no idea. I feared them.
Yeah. So there's the fear.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the way you describe it is like an energy of constant pressure, and that you were frightened of, and you don't know whether it would have caused you pain, but you were constantly trying to escape from a feeling of constant pressure. So it's possible that the relationship that you've mentioned there, amongst other things, amongst whatever else was wrong with it, was a sense of being under pressure.
all the time, you know, that sense.
Yeah.
Is that what was happening
for
you?
Yeah, in a roundabout way, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it a 3-year relationship?
About 3 or 4 years.
So, although the dream took place over a period of time.
Yeah, well, the relationship was fine up until the first, like, after a year, then it started getting pretty bad. But, that's strange.
It is, isn't it? animals in our dreams tend to come up when we're are in survival situations. So they can be good or bad. But, you know, any time you make a change, say, like, when you move from Western Australia to Brisbane, even though that was a good reason and things turned out well, that would have been a survival issue because, where am I going to live? Where am I going to eat? What kind of job? Mm. Right? So that's an example of a good survival. And a not-so-good survival might be when you were in that relationship where you didn't feel comfortable and it's like, the same things. How do I survive here? So whenever we're going through either some kind of change or some kind of survival pressure, we tend to dream of animals because animals tend to represent our survival instincts.
Okay.
That's it. It's like your dreaming brain goes to try to find a picture to express something, and when your animals are a good symbol of survival in the wild. Right, so we all might have a different picture of sharks. You know, how I might see a shark might be different than how you or anybody else sees a shark. So when I asked you, what was the energy of the shark? You said it was like, it was continually following me, it was constant pressure, and it was a fear.
Mm.
So it's possible that even though you felt at the time under pressure, and frightened of this pressure and trying to escape it, that because everybody in a dream is also an aspect of yourself, that you were the one actually putting yourself under pressure. It seems to come from the relationship, but if you think of it this way, if you'd stepped out of that relationship, the pressure would have gone.
Mm.
So you allowed yourself to stay in the relationship, so actually the pressure was coming from you.
Yeah, okay, I see that.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the deeper bit of looking at the dream where you really do that flip, and not everybody can intellectually grasp that, but if you can do that and say everybody in a dream is an aspect of myself, it can be the most helpful, the most insightful, the most healing thing to do, so that then as you move forward, and I'm sure because you haven't had the recurring dream since then, this has already happened for you, you would never then put yourself in a similar situation where you put under pressure because you've overcome the issues around that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the seaweed, describe for me the sensation of the seaweed.
I don't like seaweed at all. One small bit will put me off, and it was just everywhere, and it was it was just horrific having to swim through that, but I had to do it to get through. Yeah.
So I can relate to that because as a child I was scared stiff of seaweed. You know, if there was even just a little bit of seaweed, I wouldn't step over that to go into the sea. So I know where you're coming from. If that seaweed was alive and it had an energy, it had a personality, what would it be?
It's hard to say. There was just so much of it. It was just thick and... Yeah, I don't know about the energy wise. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of it, and it was really putting me off completely. I felt really bad having to get through it. And that's because, I honestly don't like seaweed. Like, if I see a little bit or it touches me, I get scared and think it's something I don't know what it could be. It might not just be seaweed, so I'll have to get out of the water sometimes.
I think it comes, unless you've got a specific memory of it, I think it comes, I know for me, it came from that, you know, swimming in the English seas where you couldn't see the bottom.
Uh-huh.
So you go in as a child and there'd be this thing curling around your toes, and so you instantly as a child think, is it an eel? Is it a snake? As seaweed. So I think it's probably that, maybe it's that kind of thing that a lot of us feel about seaweed, is you don't know what it is, and it could be worse. It's the unknown.
Yes.
So unless you've got any specific memory of a real bad traumatic seaweed encounter when you were small or anything, have you?
No, I don't.
No, so I think it's the unseen.
Mm.
So in the sense in the dream, what you were saying is it slowed you down and you had to work hard to get through it. So when you tell a dream, often the words you tell are your unconscious mind explaining stuff as well. So, you know, what you're saying is that in, at that time, you had to work really hard to get through that relationship. That's what it felt like. It felt like you were meeting a huge resistance. And I keep getting entanglement, like entanglement, which is what seaweed
is. Yeah, that's how it felt.
So it's like working to get out of the entanglement. How do I do this? And how far does the seaweed go? And it's frightening and it's mysterious. And also, when you do get slowed down in a dream, and in a lot of people, this is more for the kind of common dream where you're trying to walk or run somewhere and you can't, and your legs get really heavy and everything gets harder. And that's often when you're meeting your own unconscious resistance to something. You know, your doubts, your fears, your hesitations start slowing you down. I want to do such and such a thing, but my unconscious mind doesn't, so I'm just going to make this harder and harder.
Okay.
Right. So I think at the time you would have been naturally in a push me pull me situation. Part of you wanted to stay in the relationship, partly because you had an unconscious belief that it was important to put yourself under pressure for whatever reason. And that was the sort of pull me, and then the push me was, I don't like this, is too much pressure, I've got to get out of here. So the too much pressure, I've got to get out of here, was driving you forward. But the seaweed is like, and the entanglement is like, no, I actually like this, I like being entangled in this.
That's strange. Yeah, it was really hard to get out of the relationship to begin with. And he sort of followed me over here and tracked me down once I got here and stuff. But yeah, it took me quite a while to actually get out of the relationship and make the move, and I knew it was the best thing for me.
Yeah.
It just felt hard at the time because I was just stuck in that rut, I suppose.
Yes, yeah.
Wanted to support someone that didn't want support, like support.
So that's interesting that that support issue came up there, like you were saying, in the feet off the ground and the feet on the ground. And so that's the support. And you were feeling a lack of support at the time, so you were turning around and supporting someone else. And we tend to do that, you know. I need support in my life. There's no one there for me. Oh, you need support, I'll help you. And we do this over so many different issues. We turn around and help other people that are in similar situations to the situations we're in, instead of sometimes, even though that is a good and wonderful thing to do, instead of sometimes looking after what you need as a person, because if you are supported or nourished or whatever, you're in a stronger, more whole position to then be able to turn around and help other people. If you're helping other people all the time without helping yourself, you get exhausted and drained. So sometimes it can be really interesting to see what drives you to help someone else, or what do you perceive as someone else's pain or need, and then to say to yourself, if I think really hard, have I actually got that pain or need? Could it even be unconscious? And then to get that help for yourself, or allow yourself to receive support or nurturing or whatever, and then you're in a better position to help other people without getting drained.
I've never thought of it like that. Yes. Yeah. Interesting, yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Do you know the interesting thing? I mean, you did absolute wonderful stuff at that time, because you, for whatever was happening around you, you woke up to the you know, the knowledge that you had to, the wisdom that you had to leave that relationship, and that the best way to do that for you was to move geographically as well. So you absolutely did the right thing. But at the time, if we'd been able to talk about your dream back then, and I'm saying this not for a position of regret, but so that people listening in can apply this to their own situations. If we talked about your dream back then, I would have given you a dream alchemy practice, which I'm about to explain, and you would have resolved that relationship and by getting out of it very, very quickly, and saved yourself a few years and a few of the trauma.
Really?
And all it is, it's as simple
as... Where were you?
I was on the land. Maybe I was the seaweed. Maybe I was one of the sharks. It's a process called dream alchemy. So it's like a two-step process. One is you take the dream and you interpret it to understand it. And as you've just been through the process there, Lee, you get to see that the symbols of your dream are your personal symbols. You know, you just told me what seaweed meant for you, what the shark meant for you, constant pressure. You know, and I looked at the big picture and picked things out of there and could put them together, because I've been doing this for nearly 20 years and I can do that. But you could see that a lot of these were your personal symbols. They're the symbols your unconscious mind makes up. So the second step that I do is called dream alchemy, and that's where you then do exercises, often a visualization, but there can be other exercises too, using those symbols to transform your unconscious beliefs, to talk to your unconscious mind. So I would have done something like, let's staying awake, let's visualize you're still in the dream and you're swimming through the water and you see the three sharks and you turn around and you tread water and you look at them, and as you look at the three sharks, they actually change into, and then you'd pick something just really loving. So what you would do is pick something that was the opposite of constant pressure, maybe something really nurturing, maybe whatever worked for you, dolphins swimming towards you, completely different energy from sharks.
Yeah.
So you'd visualise dolphins swimming towards you and saying, oh, you know, giving you support. Lee, why didn't you ride on our backs? We'll take you to the shore. We know a way over the seaweed. You won't even have to touch it.
Mm.
and you visualise yourself on the dolphin's back and they deliver to the shore, or you to the shore, and then the dolphins come on the shore with you instead of the sharks. And then you build into that visualisation all the positive emotions you want to have, you know, support, not feeling under pressure, feeling relaxed, feeling stable, whatever suits you at the time. And by doing that visualization over and over again quite a lot for a couple of weeks, what you're actually doing is communicating to your unconscious mind using its own language.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So you're changing the fears, which were the sharks, into the love, which is the dolphins, changing the constant pressure, which was the sharks, into the nourishing, which was the dolphins. And it seems silly and simple, but actually by doing that, what happens then is that because you understand what the dream is about and then you apply the alchemy, you then find yourself in the next few days and weeks after doing that actually responding to life differently and making different decisions. So you would probably have found yourself within days looking at the relationship and going, I thought I liked this on some level, or I thought I found this difficult to escape, or I thought I felt entangled, but why did I feel that? Because really it's as simple as just, I'm out of here. And you, that's right. You know, why did I find that so hard?
Mm.
And that's what dream alchemy does. So, and that's the power of looking at your dreams, because you can interpret the dream, relate it to waking life. And once you see the connection, you can then say, ah, if this is about something that wasn't working for me, in your case, the relationship, let's do some dream alchemy so that I change my unconscious beliefs, so that instead of instead of my unconscious mind keeping me stuck in this situation, it actually transforms and helps me to move out of it.
Mm. That's really good. I like it.
Yeah. Do you notice anything else relating to the dream that?
No, not really. Like that's as much as I can remember of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it makes all sense of the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
It'd be just hard to, like how you've explained what the dream really meant, like with future dreams that I have, it'd be hard to explain them to myself, like to be able to understand them.
Yeah. It's a skill that's easily learned in steps. You know, a lot of people, I'm really glad you said that, because a lot of people say, oh, look, I really just want to go to the shop and I want to buy a book and I want to open it up and I want it to tell me what my dream means, you know. And it's like saying, I want to be able to speak Japanese instantly without studying it, or I want to be able to speak French instantly without studying it. Dream interpretation done correctly does take a bit of study, but it is simple. It's just building up the steps. And then, like learning a language, you suddenly cross this point where it suddenly all becomes easy. That's why I like to liken it to a language. You know, you can study it for, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months, and then all of a sudden, it's like
penny drops.
Yeah, penny drops, exactly. Mm. You get it. And there's many different ways of looking at it. But some of those techniques we looked at with your dreams, which you could apply for yourself, one is look into a dream for a pair of opposites.
Mm.
So you had like alone and supported, feet off the ground and supported.
Mm.
Those kind of things. And then say to yourself that when you find a pair of opposites in a dream, that often defines the issue that is bothering you at the time of a dream. So that's one tip.
Mm.
Another one, remember if there's a person or an animal in a dream, just say, what's its personality? What's its energy? And when you get that, that's describing a part of yourself.
Okay.
So that's some of the things.
So if it's, say, for example, a person you don't like and they're in your dream, it's a part of yourself that you don't really like.
So have you got an example and give them a different name?
No.
Let's make up one for an illustration for you and for everyone listening, okay? So you dream of someone called
Bob.
Okay. And you don't like him. Remember, you don't like him when he's in your dream.
Yeah.
Now, it's quite funny because somebody you don't like in waking life may still be in a dream and you actually like them in your dream or not like them, but let's take the idea that you don't like them in the dream as well. and I say to you, Ollie, give me three words to describe Bob's personality. So you might say, bearing in mind you don't like him.
Okay, egotistical, vain, and untrusting.
Okay, egotistical, vain, and untrusting.
Horrible person,
yeah. And so you're thinking, oh, God, there's not a part of myself that's like that, is there, surely? Now, if I, even though we made that up as an example, if I say egotistical, vain, and untrusting, I bet in your life you are... You work really hard at not being egotistical, do you?
Mm. Yeah, I suppose so.
Or are you kind of halfway in between?
I'm not egotistical, no.
No. Do egotistical people really bother you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Depending on how they, you know, how they are towards other people.
Yeah. So what you do is you go through that kind of questioning. You take egotistical, vain, and untrusting. And usually it means that they're, because you're dreaming about the person, they are an aspect of yourself, but usually an unconscious aspect.
Mm.
So usually you would so not be egotistical, you would so not be vain, you would so not be untrusting. But usually you've come from an experience of that, often very early in childhood. And it's like as a child, maybe a parent or somebody around you was egotistical and you thought, I am so not going to be like that. Mm-hmm. I am not going to, I'm going to make sure that I am never egotistical. And so you grow up quite the opposite, maybe totally selfless, maybe so selfless that you give everything away and lose your sense of identity. I'm not talking about you, I'm just using the example.
Yeah.
And so that's why it can be interesting in a dream to often discover that not a virtue, but a vice or personality trait that you really, really, really don't like in life is actually reflecting something that you're really trying hard not to be like.
Mm.
And so it can be quite an eye-opener that if you keep meeting in waking life, not in dreams, if you keep meeting the same type of person of a personality that you really don't like, and you say to yourself, where am I with that? You'll usually find that you're quite the opposite.
Mm.
And when you think about how much you're the opposite, you sometimes think, you know, sometimes that can be a point of weakness to be totally selfless, or the opposite to egotistical is a very wonderful and good thing, but it can sometimes also lose you a sense of identity and power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, constantly meeting the same kind of character in waking life and or in your dreams, you can then start to think, where in my life did I meet that in my life? And it's become an unconscious part of myself that I am spending all my life trying to get so far away from, and maybe that's not doing me too good. And then when you do that with a real person, yours was just an example, you then, again, you've got an issue. So in that example, you've got the issue of egotistical versus totally selfless. And then your mission in life as you go through life is then to find the balance point, the middle path between the two, where you go through life not completely egotistical, not completely selfless, as in powerless and and able to go through life with neither the egotistical bothering you or upsetting you, nor the opposite extreme, and you have a bit of both, and that's like the Chinese, the Tao. So you can use your dreams, and you can even, without your dreams, just look around at what kind of people you attract into your life, particularly the ones that you really don't like.
Mm.
And you can use that information along those lines to find out where the issues are, where you could become more balanced and therefore more powerful in life in your own personal sense. You know, and have the point of maximum growth spiritually and emotionally by finding that middle path.
And satisfaction of self as well, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's great.
Which is what you didn't have in your relationship, did you?
That's good, though. Thank you so much.
A pleasure. Thanks very much for sharing your dream.
No worries.
I was chatting with Lee after we finished recording her dream, and she said that one of the big surprises to her was that the dream, finding out that the dream reflects the last 24 to 48 hours. She was really quite surprised to find that a recurring dream comes up because there's a recurring waking life issue. And we were talking about this, and I was wondering why it is. And I think it's because, you know, from earliest childhood, when we remember our first dreams, we're usually aware that our dreams seem to comment on the past. You know, our dreams come up, and there may be, you know, there may be about the school that we once went to, or a friend that we once had, or the childhood home we once lived in. They seem to refer back more days than a couple of days. So our instant feeling as we remember our dreams when we're small is, oh, they're about, you know, any time in the past, and a lot of surreal stuff thrown in. And it can be quite a shock to find out, and I've found out this mostly through many years of research and researching hundreds and hundreds of dreams and working with people, that the dreams are actually processing only the last 24 to 48 hours. And of course, what is happening is that if you touch in the last day or two on, say, an emotion, and it may be, you know, say, let's say jealousy, then your dreaming brain, as it is processing those experiences, is going, jealousy, jealousy, where do we file jealousy? Oh, I know, it's like when you were three and you were jealous of so-and-so's ice cream. And so there'll be a picture of you when you were three, or the house that you lived in when you were three, or the ice cream, or something like that. So these flashbacks to the past that appear in our dreams are there because they are resonating with what was going on in the last day or two. And we can actually use those to understand why things are issues for us. Whatever's an issue for you in the last day or two is an issue because something happened in the past and it's resonating with that. So we can use our dreams to go back into your personal past to see where your unconscious beliefs or issues or concerns or experiences or emotions or repressed emotions or memories or whatever are coming from. But the dream itself reflects the last day or two. And I think once you get that number one magical thing, it really helps to orientate you for interpreting your dreams. You're straight up, each dream, I'm looking at what happened for me, consciously and unconsciously, in the last 24 to 48 hours. And therefore, even more powerfully, the reason to look at a recurring dream, because a recurring dream is following a recurring waking life situation. And the more that recurring dream is unresolved or unsettled or doesn't feel good, the more it's reflecting a waking life situation, which is unsettled or unresolved or doesn't feel good. So you can really do yourself an enormous favor by working with, or getting me to help you work with, a recurring dream thing or recurring dream. And I also wanted to suggest a few tips at this stage, because Lee did say that, oh, I wish that I could do that myself. And you listened to what I said there. So I'd like to direct you specifically to some places where you can get lots of free resources on my websites, but I'm going to tell you exactly what you can get. So although you can, of course, pay to have a consultation with me and get that total one-on-one focus on you and your dreams with my help, there are also plenty of ways that you can explore and give yourself time to study yourself. So for example, if you go to my website, which is dream.net.au, and you go to any page after the home page, just click through to anywhere, you'll see a box come up and it invites you to sign in to receive my dream interpretation tips for free. Now what you get for that is you get 7 consecutive days of dream interpretation tips. So you get one tip on the first day to your email, another tip on the second day to your email box, and so on. So I picked kind of like the top 7 dream interpretation tips that I think, if you have those tips, you've got a really great in to being able to start to interpret your own dreams. And once you're on that list, as with any list, you can opt out, unsubscribe at any time. But if you stay on it, after those first 7 days, you'll receive a tip every 4 weeks, and you'll occasionally receive another tip or a bit of information from me, but rarely, but, you know, a little bit. So that's one thing that you can do. Most of you that are already listening to the show are onto the best thing of all, which is listening to the podcast every week for free. If you're a newcomer, as you know, this is episode 84. You can go back through every single episode. And I quite often hear from people who email me and say, I've just listened to every episode that you've done. So, you know, they're all different. There's plenty to learn from them. You can get them all downloaded on iTunes to make it easy for yourself rather than going through the websites and keeping on pressing play. You know, don't do that. Get onto iTunes, search for The Dream Show, get it all automatically downloaded onto your iTunes or into your iPod or whatever. And then you can just, you know, flick through any time and just listen to different ones. You can, you know, if you're an audio person, you've got the podcasts. If you like words and reading them, you've got the Dream Tips emails, plus lots of stuff on my website. If you're more of a visual person, We do have quite a lot of YouTube videos around. I must record some new ones because I've got quite a lot of old ones, but we've had, at the last count, 30,000 downloads of our YouTube videos and lots of comments from people that have said, ah, you know, it took me 2 or 3 minutes to watch that video about tsunami dreams or whatever, and now I understand it, I get it. So have a look through YouTube or on my site, you'll find the videos on there as well. If you're a kind of video person, if you like a long, slow read, buy my books or borrow them from libraries. And of course, if you really enjoy just a little bit of content on a regular basis, go to my blog at janetheresa.com, where I blog 2 or 3 times a week. Just little stories, little insights, and I generally try to weave into each one one small tip that you can take away with you to apply to your dreams or to apply dream alchemy. Or sometimes the blogs are just a bit more of a new take on life or a different perspective. Now, there's plenty more resources on my site. That website has been going for, I'm losing count, I think it's done 12 years now. So there's loads and loads and loads of free resources. So, you know, in answer to Lee's question, what can I do to understand my dreams better? 2 quick answers. One, there's loads of stuff there for free that you can go and learn, listen to, watch, read, buy, subscribe to, and, you know, just enjoy the long, slow learning process. Or you can fast track all of that and just book a consultation by phone or Skype with me one-on-one and really get down to the nuts and bolts with my help. So I think that's enough for one show. Have a lovely week, and I'll talk to you next week for episode 85. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.